Jude, you know what chapter, right? All right, let's look at verse 20. The Bible said, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for each one, Lord, that's taken time out of their week to come tonight to study the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you'd teach us something tonight. Help us another mile on down the road. Help us, Lord, to be in the pulling business, pulling people out of the fire. Lord, you told us to go in the highways and the byways and compel them. Lord, that's another type of pulling. Compel them to come in that your house might be filled. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd fill our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would anoint the speaking and preaching of thy word tonight. And God, I pray tonight that you would anoint the hearing. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's look tonight. We're looking at the subject, the fire, pulling them out or pushing them in. And we started early in the chapter in the book of Jude, and we said we're pulling people out of the fire when we're multiplying and not dividing. We're pulling them when we're multiplying. We're pushing them when we're dividing. And then we pull by contending. He said to earnestly contend for the faith. The multiplying came in verse 2. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. And then in verse number 3, he said that we earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, we got started Sunday night on we pull by remembering. In verse 5, he said, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." And so we talked about we need to remember the judgment of God. The Bible talked about over there, I believe in verse number 7, the vengeance, suffering the vengeance of an eternal fire. Now, I wrote down that we need to remember, and then I really didn't plan on looking at verse number 11 in detail. What I was going to do was just kind of let that go with the judgment. We need to remember that judgment's coming. But tonight, let me ask you this question, because I have a hard time remembering. I've studied this out several times, and about every time I address it, I have to study again. But if I was to ask you tonight, what's it talking about when it says the error of Balaam? Look unto you, and look at verse number 11. He said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." How many have an idea what that's talking about when it says the way of Cain? Just raise your hand. Okay, several. Okay, and then the Bible said here, "And they had ran greedily after the error of Balaam." How many knows what that's talking about? Raise your hand. It got a lot thinner right there than it did on the way of Cain. And that's okay. But I learned some things as I studied. And then it said here, "And perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Now this is going to sound odd to you until I get it across tonight. But what we looked at there when the judgment was the vengeance of eternal fire. But in this verse tonight, in verse number 11, I'm going to look at the virtue of an eternal God. Now, you say, "Preacher, how in the world do you see the virtue of God when you're talking about Cain and when you're talking about Balaam and when you're talking about Korah?" Here's what I want you to see in the virtue of God, an eternal God, is that He doesn't change his mind about things. There's three things being represented right here tonight. Number 1 is religion. Number 2 is reward. And number three is rebellion. And I must say to you tonight that God has not changed his mind about any of those three things. And looking at the virtue of God. Let me show you how God dealt in my heart. And we'll get into the lesson tonight. If we're going to go back and look at some scripture, but let me show you how this sprang up in my heart as I studied these texts. Boy, I got so much, most of this just Bible printed out, but I need to keep it organized so I can get back to it. Go over with me to Numbers 23 and verse number 19. The Bible said, God is not a man. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to say God's not a politician. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. That he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. What that's talking about there, right, is that he should change his mind. What we're going to study tonight when we get over on Balaam, we've got to go to Cain first. But we're going to study that it's pretty evident in the life of Balaam as he addresses Balak and goes back and forth. That he's hoping by repetition that God will change his mind about what God told him to start with. I want to tell you something. I love what the Bible said over there in the book of Malachi. I was in that chapter a little while back. I am the Lord, I change not. I like that, don't you? And then over there in the book of Hebrews, he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Thank God we got a book that ain't going to change. Amen. We got a God that ain't going to change. The Holy Spirit's not going to change. I tell you what, though, this book will change me. The God that I serve will change me. Say amen. And the Holy Spirit that lives in me will change me. And I tell you where we're messed up today, we got people trying to change him. He ain't changing. Amen. And I believe these fellas right here, they get caught up in a mess. And so we see the vengeance of an eternal fire. And when we're looking at what we need to remember in that we would be pulling them out and not pushing them in. But we need to remember the virtue of an eternal God. Let me just say this to you. You'll never be more like Jesus than when you're trying to help somebody out of the fire. Shoo, glory to God. That's why he went to Calvary. Amen. So that he could reach down, as Brother Fred used to sing, way below the bottom and get a hold of us. Amen. And pick us up out of that muck and out of that mire. And so tonight, I'd like to just park in this verse for a little while and address this that's in front of us. I was just trying to get you to see how I guess it was birthed in my heart about the virtue of an eternal God. Now, the Bible said here, woe unto them. You remember Jesus used this phrase in a form much in the Gospels. He would talk to the Pharisees. You remember that? Woe unto you. He said, your whited sepulchres. You look good on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones. You've made clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is not clean. And so that ties in with this way of Cain having to do with religion. If you will, turn in your Bibles, please, over to the book of Genesis with me. The book of Genesis. And you might say, well, preacher, this doesn't apply today. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. Cain was trying to have a relationship with God apart from the blood. And can I say, it's still going on today. But God has not changed his mind about the blood. It's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. People will mock old-time religion. They'll mock churches like this. They'll mock preachers down through the ages that have stood by the stuff and said, you must be born again. You must come to Calvary. You must trust Jesus and the shed blood of Calvary in order to have the remission of your sin. They'll mock that. We'll read that in the book of Jude. There's Phil Malkin, say amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's going to come a day. You read it in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm trying to get to Genesis 4, but you read it in Proverbs chapter number 1. God said, I'll mock when their fear cometh, and I will laugh at their calamity. I never shall forget the first time that I saw that, and it jumped out at me. That's not a God that this world knows much about. Say amen. Oh, they think he's just a pansy, so to speak. You know what I mean? He's just gentle, and he is. There's nobody that can be more gentle than our God, the God that we serve. He's our shepherd. But I'm going to tell you, there's another side. Amen. And that side is not gentleness. That side is wrath. That side is fury. And I believe with all of my heart, you'll appreciate his gentleness even more when you get acquainted, beloved, with a Bible that says there's another side. If you don't come by Calvary, if you don't come by way of the cross, there's another side of this God the Bible talks about. Genesis chapter number 4, and if you will, look at with me in verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man-child from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. I learned something else as I read this. I'll share it with you in a moment. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. I guess, Brother Brian, he was M.A.D. And his countenance fell. Amen? Now, let me show you something here. I do not believe that God required something of these boys that they were ignorant about. I believe it makes perfect sense to believe that Adam and Eve had taught their sons about what God had done for them when they were expelled from the garden, that they might be able to fellowship with him once again, and that he made of them coats of skins. He made for them coats of skins. And so an animal had to die and give its life so that they could have fellowship with God. I believe that Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel exactly what I said a while ago, that God requires a blood sacrifice. I don't believe that Cain is ignorant. I'm going to show you in a minute. I believe Cain was given God that he loved. And I'll show you where I got that from in just a moment. I believe he loved being a tiller of the ground. I believe he loved the fruit that was produced as he worked and tilled the ground. The Bible said here, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Let me ask you something. Would God say if thou doest well and he didn't know what well was? I believe he knew what he was supposed to do. And the word of God is like God's given him another chance. He said, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him, killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. He's lying. Am I my brother's keeper? Let me just say this to you tonight. I believe, listen, if you and I would realize that as God's people, we have a responsibility to the sinner. Help me tonight to throw out the lifeline, to pull. I've been praying for you, Colt. I know your heart's killed over this man that died, as far as we know, without God. But brother, you pulled and you pulled and you pulled and you did what you could. I believe it's going to be on his head.
You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Read the book of Ezekiel. God said, you sound the warning, they won't heed, their blood will be on their own head. But if we fail to sound the warning, their blood will be required in our hands. That's what the Bible said. The Bible's talking about here, said, Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Oh my goodness, I just saw something right there. Brother Steve, if the voice of blood of one can cry from the ground, what must be crying from the ground in the United States of America since we started killing babies, millions and millions and millions? They struck something down today. I heard it on the radio. Somebody had passed a law that life begins. They said if they declare somebody dead when they lose the heartbeat, then they ought to be declared alive when they hear the heartbeat. But then they had a law in place that would not allow an abortion after you could hear a heartbeat, and they struck it down. God, give us some common sense. God, give us the fear of God back. God, help us to read Psalm 139. God, help us in this country that we live in. The Bible said here, watch this now. We got to be pulling. And if we're going to be pulling, we got to remember that God is a God that doesn't change his mind about religion. He said, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou, watch verse number 12. God is going to hit Cain right where it hurts. Cain has brought, I never had seen this, Brother Larry. He had brought the fruit of the ground, and the very thing that he brought, God said, you can till the rest of your life, big boy, but it ain't coming like it used to. Watch what he said here. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And so what we're looking at in the way of Cain, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 quickly. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're talking about this religion, this bloodless sacrifice, this trying to please God apart from faith. This world's full of people that's trying to please God apart from faith. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, please, and verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was, what's that next word? In essence, Abel is no different than Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Why did Abel bring the blood? Because he believed God. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, right here, verse number 4, it was counted unto him also. He had obtained witness that he was righteous. You can say whatever you want to, but there's people all over the world, religious people, that are going to the same hell that a drunkard's going to. That are going to the same hell, beloved, to somebody that's never darkened the door of a church in all their life because they're depending on something other than the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. You just start asking people, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Listen to the people that say yes, and then ask them, how do you know? Now listen to those answers. When you start getting answers like, because I'm a good citizen, because I've always been a good dad, because I don't steal, and because I'm honest, and because I do my very best to be good to men and to be good to other people. I do my best. We're not going to heaven because we do our best. We're going to heaven because God gave His best. God gave His Son. They called Him Jesus. He was sent to save His people from their sin. Hallelujah tonight. God has not changed His mind in this area of religion. It's still the blood. You see, we've taken religion, and it's hard to even talk about it now without talking about it in a bad connotation, but there is a good connotation concerning religion. As a matter of fact, years ago, people that were born again, Brother Ralph, somebody got born again, went back down there to the press where you used to work, the people that understood what happened to him after a little while, they'd say, so-and-so got religion. And they were talking about the same thing, being born again. They got salvation. There was a change in their life. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion is this. There is such a thing as a pure and an undefiled religion. That's the religion that's made pure by the blood. That's the man that's been born again, and his sins have been washed away by the blood. But the man-made religion ain't going to get nobody nowhere except a place in hell. And I'm going to tell you that I believe one of the hottest places in hell will be for men, and I'll have to say this, and women, that stood in pulpits and told people there's another way. They're going to stand before God. I'm glad it's still the blood. God hasn't changed. We need to remember not only the vengeance of an eternal fire, but remember the virtue of an eternal God. Go with me now if you will, please. I didn't mean to spend that much time there. But go with me now if you will. And let's go over to the book of Numbers and look at the error of Balaam. The error. He said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam." When I read this, it amazes me. It really does. You really have to pay attention to what's going on, or it'll actually confuse you a little bit. Because it looks like that Balaam is doing exactly what God told him to do. But let me just say this. Here's what really is going on. This will help you understand it better than anything else. What we're looking at is what Balaam's doing on the outside. What he's actually doing and what he's actually saying. But I want you to know, according to the Bible, when it says greedily, let me just read you a text real quickly if I can find it in the book of Peter. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, heart, they have exercised covetous, there you go, greedily, practices, cursed children, which forsaken the right way, gone astray, following the way of Balaam. God's not making a mistake when he says greedily after the error of Balaam. See, we're looking at the text, and remember this tonight, we're looking at what he actually does, what he actually says, but the whole time we're looking at what he does and what he says, God's looking at his heart. We're going to be able to see, Brother Steve, that he's going to come back after God has given his word. He's going to come back again and again. And it's evident to me in what I'm reading in the New Testament about Balaam, that God, looking in his heart, that Balaam keeps coming back hoping that God would change his mind and that he could have some of that gold and that silver that belonged to Balak. You'll see it. Look at it with me. In Numbers 22, verse 1, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, is that how y'all say his name? Balak, is that how you say it, Miss E? Thank you, honey. And Balak, the son of Zippor, is that how you say his name? Okay. Amen. She's red now. She might be M-A-D. I'm just kidding. Amen. So all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. He's wondering what in the world, this country is wondering, what are we going to do? And read verse number 4, the latter part of it. Moab, well, I'll just read it all. Moab said to the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So what he's got on his mind now, he has seen what the children of Israel have done to others. And what he's got on his mind, I'm paraphrasing now, he's got it on his mind that they're coming to do the same thing to him and the people of Moab. And he knows about a man by the name of Balaam, that he is one that can divine. He is one that can prophesy. And so what he's going to do, he's going to try to hire Balaam to pronounce a curse upon Israel. Let me just say this to you tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know how in the world this even fits with the message. I'll show you. God does not change his mind. He hadn't changed his mind about pulling him out of the fire. He didn't change his mind in the course of Numbers chapter number 22 and 23 and 24. We'll see that if you only read it on the surface, it looks like that God did change his mind, because what did he tell him to start with? Don't go. They come back again and he says, let me inquire of God. What should he have done? In hindsight, what do you reckon he should have done? I believe in hindsight, Brother Steve, what he should have done, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe what he should have done is said, boys, we done heard from God on this. He ain't going to change his mind about it. And I'm not wasting my time or yours. Y'all might as well just go on back to Moab. But what'd he do? Let's read it. In verse number 5, he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor, or Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there's a people come up out of Egypt. That's Israel. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, and that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. He had that much confidence in Balaam. He said, if you bless them, they'll be blessed. And if you curse them, they'll be cursed. How many knows the end of the story? Over and over and over, Balak is desiring that Balaam curse them, and every time he ends up blessing them. I just wonder, I've been saved a little over 30 years. I wonder how many times the enemy has wanted to put a curse on me. And God said, no can do. I'm going to bless him. That helps me tonight. God ain't changed his mind about blessing his youngins. Amen. We're not living under a curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus took our curse to Calvary. If you're born again, you've been saved by the grace of God, you're not living under a curse. Verse number 7, I hope I'm not boring you with this. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed. Watch this now. What did they have with them? The rewards of divination in their hand. Boy, they had a good payday for Balaam if he would have just cooperated. The Bible said here, he said, lodge here this night. I'll bring you word again. The Lord shall speak unto me, and the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overthrow them. And God said unto Balaam, oh man, thou shalt not go with them. Oh, I wish I was preaching to 550 teenagers tonight, because God sometimes will say, thou shalt not go with them. He'll say the same things to moms, the same thing to dads, the same thing to papaw, and the same thing to mamaw. Thou shalt not go with them. Here's what I've often said down through the years. You ask enough people, enough times, and somebody will tell you what you want to hear. Amen? That's exactly right. Balaam asked God, what I want us to see tonight more than anything else, from the beginning of this chapter to the end of chapter 24, we're not going to have time to go through all of it, but God does not change his mind. The people of Israel, oh, glory to God. They're God's people in this text, and God is not going to curse them, and God is not, beloved, in the business of cursing his people. Now listen to me. I believe tonight that Balak, he had it wrong. Balaam rose up in the morning, verse 13, he said to the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak, watch this now, he set yet again princes more, look at the rest of it, and more honorable than they. Satan has always been in the business of making sin look good. He sends more of them and more honorable, and he's trying it again. I just say this tonight. He ain't going to give up. He came to Jesus in the wilderness. You remember that? Jesus had fasted for 40 days. Went with that, and Satan came to him, and he tempted him. I believe in three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Just like every temptation you and I will face will fall in one of those three categories. And he did it to no avail. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But when you get down to the end of that text, it said, then angels came and ministered unto him. Then the devil leaveth him. Somebody know the next three words? For a season. What's that mean? That means he has every intention of coming back. Just because he failed once? How many has got enough sense if you've been saved long enough? No, he's going to keep coming back. Just because he failed once don't mean he ain't coming back. But let me say this. It don't matter how many times that he comes back, what God told you and I the first time still stands. I remember a man telling me this. I don't know where this come from. I believe God wants me to plug it in right here. I remember a man telling me one time, he said, preacher, I don't believe anything is sin in and of itself. He said, I believe it's sin when it's not in moderation. That's what he said. We were actually grouse hunting when he said that. I have learned something down through the years, and that is sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut and meditate on what's been said. I meditated for a long time on that. That man and his son and my son were sitting at our table and we were eating. And I said, brother, and I called his name. I said, do you remember the other day we were hunting, you said that you didn't believe anything in and of itself was sin, but it's when it wasn't in moderation. He said, yeah, I remember that, preacher. I said, I want to ask you a question. He said, what's that, preacher? I said, does that mean it's okay to cheat on my wife as long as I only do it once every 10 years? That might be a stupid illustration. But God ain't changed his mind. If I steal a dime or steal $10,000, God said, I stole. If I cheat on my wife every week or cheat on her once every 10 years, God said, I'm an adulterer. Help me tonight. What God is trying to show us in the book of Jude, we need to remember that God has not changed His mind. It doesn't matter if it's something that our family's facing or not. We're living in a generation that's petting sin like a rattlesnake, not realizing the snake bites and the snake kills. I'm about out of time tonight, but let me just say this to you tonight. As we read on here, the Bible said here, let me get down here just a little bit further. He said, I'll promote thee in verse 17 to great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of my Lord to do more or less. I'm telling you tonight, if all I had to look at was the text, I wouldn't get the message. But if you read Jude and you read Peter, let me just say this. Balak didn't mention the house full of silver and gold. Balaam did. And I believe the God of heaven, just like in the New Testament, when Jesus, he wouldn't even have to hear him. He could tell them what they're thinking. He could tell them, how many believe that? He could tell them their thoughts. He knows what we're thinking tonight. And he doesn't change. He doesn't change. That brings a great deal of peace to my heart. God's not going to change in the area of religion. God's not going to change in the area of reward. Beloved, the child of God's reward is not down here. The child of God's reward is over yonder. We're blessed down here. Yes, we are. Blessed to have something to eat. Blessed to have something to wear. Blessed to have a good spouse. Thank the Lord. But I tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet for the children of God. Watch this now. He said, I pray thee, verse 19, tarry this night also. I believe this is where he made his mistake, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. What's that next word? Maybe that's why they're writing a new Bible every 30 days, brother. They think God's got something more to say. I don't think he has. I believe he got it in between Genesis and Revelation, don't you? His word got over and finished up the book of the Revelation. He said, now don't add to it. Ain't no more. Glory to God. Woo! He said, don't take away from it. When David was given the sword of Goliath, he said, there's none like that. And I say, this sword that's laying on this desk up here tonight, there's none like that. None like that. Watch this. The Bible said, and Balaam rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass and he went with the princes of Moab. And verse 22, look up here now. God, in verse 20, God said to Balaam, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. You see this? If you're just reading this at face value, you're going to miss it. God told Balaam, go with them. Go with them. He knew his heart. In verse number 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. This goes along with a statement I heard a preacher say years ago. You might get what you want, only to figure out you don't want what you got. The best example I know of that in the scripture, Brother Steve, is Saul. Israel said, give us a king so we can be like all the other nations. What'd God do? Gave him a king. They found out right quick it's better off when God was king. We as the people of God need to be sure that King Jesus is on the throne in our heart. Because there's all kinds of kings that are competing for that place in our life that only the Lord deserves. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. You all know the story. He's standing there with that sword. Listen to me carefully. And Balaam's heart is so far from God, he can't see him. I'd be in bad shape tonight if my heart was so far from God that I couldn't see what the donkey I'm riding on is seeing. God ain't changed. You know that donkey, I guess I've read it two or three times today, but he bucks and he gets his foot or his ankle or his leg against the wall, and Balaam says, I got half a mind, so to speak, to just kill you. The Lord speaks to Balaam. Said he, that donkey, I believe it was a girl donkey, wasn't it? See, Colt, you got a lot better memory than I do, brother. It's a girl donkey. What do you call a girl donkey anyway? No, I'm not trying to set you up. Ain't there a name for a girl donkey? Jenny? Is that what you call a girl donkey? A what? What do you call them, Jenny? Is he saying Jenny? Okay, I don't have my hearing aid yet. We're agreeing, Brother Larry. Amen. I thought we was arguing for a minute. Amen. What do they call a boy donkey? I'm just curious. They got a name for them too. A jack, that's right. Amen. That must have been who the Lord put here for pastor for all them years, Brother Jack. Amen. He was good at kicking, wasn't he? Amen. I like that. Amen. That donkey pins him up against the wall. I got to get out of here. And anyway, the Lord spared his life because the donkey could see the angel of the Lord in the path. And Balaam repents. The whole story, the reason God's telling it over in the book of Jude, is to help us remember there was an error in Balaam's life. You and I are going to stand, we that are saved, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to me carefully, and I'm done. I believe if we're not in the pulling business, we're going to find out there was an error in our life as well. God wants to bless us. He wants to make us a blessing to somebody else along life's way. How many's glad you come tonight? I ain't done even with that verse, but I'm having a good time trying. I don't know what we'll do. We may pick this up Sunday night. I don't know what we'll do. I'll just try to find the mind of God. The fire. Pulling them out or pushing them in. Boy, I don't want to be in the pushing business when you're talking about that eternal fire. We've seen, we don't need to forget, we need to remember the vengeance of eternal fire. But we need to remember the virtue of an eternal God. He doesn't change. I'm glad he doesn't, aren't you? I'd be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo if God was changing. But he's given us some good, solid ground to stand on. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Brother Steve, you head this way. Y'all pray for us.